If you're looking into opportunities in the fitness industry, similar to what CrossFit offered, like all the good shit CrossFit had, minus the intimidation, the lack of profitability due to wasted space and obnoxious movements and that whole brand issue that they've run into, I would be looking into a Industrious franchise if I were you. Industrious is a model that utilizes the best of functional fitness in a group setting with an in-place model. The in-place model, for those of you who don't realize, is the most profitable model out there. It's what yoga and spin studios capitalized on, but that the CrossFit industry lost sight of by taking up too much square footage, reducing the profit and revenue for the gym owner and staff. Industrious has fixed that. They have created an in-place model with a 169 square foot halo that contains everything a member needs to have a great functional fitness workout. Pull-up bars, squat racks, ergs, plyo boxes, dumbbells, barbells, everything you would need for functional fitness is right there in a neat and organized 169 square foot model. And it is going to turn you into a fitness operator that has a model that can sustain the next 20 years in the industry. If you are interested in learning more about franchising and Industrious, go to the link in the show notes or to the link in my bio on Instagram at WTF Gym Talk, and I'll get you set up with the team over at Industrious to talk shop.
What is up, guys? It is Stu, and it is another episode of the What the Fuck Gym Talk podcast. Steve Jobs had a great quote. It went something to the degree of, there's a disease amongst businesses or business owners in which they believe that a good idea is enough, or a great idea is enough, something like that. And I couldn't agree with that more. There are many of us, probably you, definitely me, at times in our career as business owners, in which we had an idea, and without really taking the probably the required 40 plus hours that it really takes to flush out an idea, to R&D it, to contact people, to help poke holes in it, to analyze it, to research it. We move. And like, we move fast. We start doing things. I swear to Christ, I was traveling out. I was in Denver, Colorado for about a week, and it was an awesome trip. I was there, got to visit some client sites, got to go speak at an event that one of my colleagues, Evan Lindsay, held. And be amongst him and his consulting clients in that group. Got to catch up with good buddies like Adam Ludlow over Rewired Fitness Co. Just like, great fucking trip. And in between like going and visiting some client sites, I stopped at this bar. There's a whiskey bar that was recommended to me. Popped in there, laptop, having a cocktail. A little old-fashioned in emails time, right? And I'm sitting there, and a guy next to me starts chatting me up, and we're kind of going back and forth, and I explained to him what I did, and he goes, yeah, I had this great idea for a gym. And I'm like, this is going to be perfect. I should hit record. This is going to be fucking, I mean, this guy's not in the industry, right? He's just, he had been at the bar much longer than I had, and I'm like, this is going to be fucking gold, and I wish I would have recorded it. But anyway, to fast forward, he ends up telling me about his incredibly good idea and how within 48 hours of having the idea, I mean, he was actually like executing. Like, he went and registered URLs and, you know, submitted, you know, trademarks on a name and started like looking for leases and all these other things. And as much as I love the ambition and the timing of executing on something like that, where someone is so into their thing, they're just like, yep, I'm all in. You want to know why he was sitting next to me? Well, he didn't fucking do it, or it didn't work, right? He's in corporate America. It didn't work the fuck out. And it's because a good idea is not enough. And here's the thing is, most good ideas are disguised as, do you got it? What are they disguised as? Ask yourself, what are they disguised as? They're disguised as good fucking ideas. They're not. They're fucking not good ideas. They're disguised as them. And here's what happens. A good idea is kind of like when you meet somebody and you're like, oh my God, this person is incredible. I'm literally going to marry her, get her name tattooed on my neck, and we're going to carry vials of each other's blood around, right? Like Megan Fox and MGK. And then, you know, 12 weeks in, you're like, holy shit, this woman's a psycho, and you're Googling laser, you know, tattoo removal. Because it wasn't a good idea. It just, you got excited about something in the beginning. I've done podcasts recently where I talked about business owners who allow the rush of emotion to blind them to, you know, again, making smart decisions. They get in trouble. And this is an exact scenario. This guy at the bar, he's sitting there telling me how, yeah, I had the idea, and literally within days, he is creating, you know, essentially a business out of it without ever having flushed it out. So my goal is today to give you guys kind of what I would recommend you do when you are seized by a good idea. You have what Michael Gerber in E-Myth would call like the entrepreneurial seizure, that moment where you realize, I'm not going to work for somebody, I'm going to work for myself, and here's my business. You're going to want to flush it out. Here are the steps. Step one. The second you have the good idea, I want you to spend probably no less than 3 to 5 hours pen to paper and answer just a few questions about it. What problem am I solving? Who am I solving it for? And how am I solving the problem? Okay? So that's kind of your big three. What do I do? What problem am I solving? Who do I do it for? Who's my core customer? And how am I going to solve it? Right? What's my unique sales proposition? How am I solving this in a way that is faster, cheaper, better, more thorough, technology first, whatever it is that other companies are not? You write those three down, and you need like 3 to 5 hours, because you're not going to be able to do it in one sitting. You're probably going to do it in 3 to 5 1-hour sittings where you're just taking notes. And this should be freehand. This should be just pen to paper or keyboard where you're just brain dumping all over. There is nothing right or wrong that you could write. I highly recommend bullet points, not full sentences. Images, pictures that you've seen as an inspo board could also be incorporated here. Okay, that's step one. Now, once you have that, and again, this is all rough, right? Step two is you now want to, now that you have a better idea of your thing, you want someone to shark tank it. You want to talk to people. And I don't recommend, like, you can call me and we get on a concept validation call, which is exactly what we do. We validate a concept. We point out the opportunities and the vulnerabilities in it. You can do that. That's probably like last, because I think you could probably go to a handful of individuals, not all within the same ecosystem. Meaning, don't go to like your 2 or 3 employees or some customers or like your family members only. Do a mix. A couple, maybe a local business owner or two, and someone who has a business you admire. Be like, man, I don't really know that guy that well. We say hi to each other when I go into his coffee shop, but he's done a pretty good job. And he has a service-based business, and my idea is a service-based business. I wonder if he'd be willing to give me 30 minutes of his time to run this idea by him. And when you ask for these meetings, these like these shark tanky kind of meetings, again, people are busy. You have nothing to offer them. You're selfishly asking for a favor. I highly recommend you push through it in this fashion. You say, hey, listen, I'm working through a business concept that I'm hoping to bring to life. But in effort to do my due diligence, I wanted to bounce this off other local business owners in this category. And again, I would say if it's a product, focus with product businesses. If it's service-based, stick with service-based businesses. I respect the business you've built. I know we don't know each other that well, which is why I think, honestly, you'd probably be one of the better people to give me a feedback. And I guarantee you, 9 out of 10 people would say, yes, sure, I'd love to. One person will be a cunt, and that's fine. But most successful entrepreneurs are more than happy to talk business with somebody else, and especially in this kind of like sniff test type scenario. So you go ahead and you do that, and I recommend, again, doing it with no less than 5 to 7 people. And these numbers I'm pretty hard on, like, you know, 3 to 5 hours in the beginning, and then around 5 to 7 people you have conversations with, and they need to come from different areas. One family member, one customer currently, maybe one employee, you know, 3 or 4 business owners, and you're good. Maybe a consultant, however you do it, right? You just got to get the 5 to 7 viewpoints on it. Because I promise you, every one of those meetings, you're going to walk away with a where they shined. Yeah, they shined the flashlight in the corner that you would never even looked into. Like, well, how about that over there? What about, have you thought about that? And you're like, fuck, I never even looked over there. Holy shit, that's a good idea. And when you go to these meetings, bring pen and paper. Here's two things. Bring pen and paper. Don't bring anything digital. I think it provides a higher level of respect to the individual giving you their free time. If you're not, you know, typing away on your computer, even though you're just typing, I know you're not like fucking DMing anyone or checking Instagram, I would recommend recording and just like take your phone, put it in airplane mode and do an audio recording of the thing, of the whole conversation. Let them know. I mean, and I guarantee they won't mind. And then take notes. And then you could go back and you have the meeting. Because I'll tell you, I have had a concept call, like concept validation call with an owner who followed these steps. And then I go back, I'm like, well, that's I really like the perspective that that one person had. What did they think about this? And they're like, oh, fuck, let me look through my notes. Like, shit, I forget. So just audio record the whole fucking thing, all right? So step one, you do your due diligence. What problem am I solving? Who am I solving it for? How am I solving it? Step two, get, you know, a handful, 5 to 7 different people to weigh in on your overall idea. And because you don't have the specifics figured out is the beauty, because the specifics aren't as important, I promise you, as the overall idea, right? Like, you know, investors and businesses, and you've heard this with like Munger, you've heard this with Mark Cuban, you've heard this with, you know, Damon John, like when they look at some businesses, they're like, eh, that sounds really complicated. Now, if you already have the details figured out and you're like yammering on about like, okay, and then we're gonna charge $19.99 and we're gonna have about approximately 400 customers by Q2, it's gonna sound too complicated. You're looking for someone to look at this at a high level, because the high level has to work. The details change. Like, businesses change the way they do business constantly in the details. But typically, the problem they solve, who they solve it for, and how they're gonna solve it, typically remains unaltered. There's just nuance in the delivery, right? The details of we do it this way or sell it this, or this is the promotion, or the stores are this big versus that big, whatever it may be. So don't get too bogged down. Don't bring somebody a 10-page business plan. You're not there yet, all right? Step three, after you've had all those meetings, you should go back to your original brain dump and completely revise it. Now you have a much better, clear understanding of what problem you solve, who you solve it for, and how you're going to solve it. You have questions too. A lot of times people are like, I just walked away from those meetings with a bunch of questions. It was kind of frustrating. I'm like, that's the whole fucking point. You're supposed to walk away from these meetings with questions, because they are supposed to ask you questions in which you don't have the answers to. Remember, the point of this isn't so you're like that poor fuckface that sat next to me at the bar that didn't do this and ran into the fire without ever knowing, you know, how big it was, what floor's the fire on. This is how you put on your helmet. You got one of those jackets? I'd recommend putting that shit on. Like, this dude just ran in and he fucking failed. A lot of you guys have done this. Like, gym owners, the amount of gym owners I know, like, oh my God, yeah, I got the gym and then I got this great side idea. And before you know it, they're buying fucking URLs. Like, you're buying a URL? You think, I mean, like, you really think the URL is that at risk of being purchased? Okay, fine, buy the $20 URL. But you do realize you're skipping about, oh, I don't know, 12 fucking steps? No, this is a great idea. I got to move on it. Yeah, says the guy. Like, famous last words from the person who goes out of business with their new great idea. Because good ideas are often disguised as good ideas. But they're really bad ideas. And it might not even that they're bad ideas. I don't really think there's necessarily, I take that back. There are some bad fucking ideas. But I think bad ideas are really potentially good ideas with poor execution and strategy. I think, again, when you really make sure that you're focusing on the very high level picture of what problem, who do you solve it for, and how do you solve it, generally, there's no bad idea to be found there. It's going to be in the details and the execution that this goes to shit. And if you start executing too quickly, you have a high likelihood of failing. Now, if you want to be an owner, kind of like many of us did when we first started a small business, we just rushed into the fire, like that poor bastard at the bar next to me. And we ran into the fire and we just figured it out. If you want to spend, you know, and do that and bootstrap it and spend the next, you know, whatever, you know, 3 to 5 years figuring it out because you ran into the fire early, then go for it. I don't know about you, but I did that once. Everything I've done since then has been far, far more detailed and fleshed out prior to jumping into it. I didn't just open up the gym real estate company on a flyer. That was like 9 months of conversations and reaching out to the Jim Crowells of the world and the Mike Jones and the Brandon Cullens. You know, I'm forgetting a bunch of, you know, Sean Pastuch probably. Like, I'm trying to think of anyone else in my colleague circle, my personal, like, executive coaches that I use. Like, you know, there was a lot of, like, time that went into that before it actually fucking launched. Now, when you have all three of these steps done and you've, like, that third step being you've gone through, you revised it, you have a much cleaner version of it, now you can start developing it. And by developing it, now you start creating models for it. I always recommend starting at a financial model, understanding, okay, so create scenarios, good, better, best, right? And I, you know, when I do a financial model, it's always, I'm going to, you know, if I generate X amount of revenue, what percentage is going to profit? What percentage is going to go to the owner for distributions? What percentage is going to go to payroll? What percentage is going to go to operating expenses? What percentage is going to have to go to taxes? At a high level, start creating a financial model for this. Then go ahead and create an operating model. How could this look? And don't come up with this is how it's going to look. That's ignorant. You're not there yet. This is how it's going to look. So if you're doing on a financial model, good, better, best, then on an operating model, do option 1, 2, 3 or 1 and 2, whatever it may be. Because there's definitely different ways for you to create this. There's not just one way. And if you have the one way already in your head, then you're already in trouble. You're too young into this to be like, yep, this is definitely the way it's going to work. No, you ignorant fuck. You need to observe, you need to take time to look at potentially other models. So generally when I do a concept validation call, we'll create 2 or 3 models on the operating side. And we might go with none of them, but we borrow, like we create a Frankenstein model from the 3 of them. See what I'm saying? By you sitting down and forcing yourself to think of what are the various ways that I could operate this type of a business, it gives you opportunity. Okay. Those are generally that's like the next step. And once you flush that out, now you're kind of at the point where you can start playing with specifics, right? I think even at that point, you would go back to maybe the top 3 people that you got insight from in the second step and now take your refined what problem, who do I solve it for, and how do I solve it. Take your refined financial and operating models and go back to them and say, like, what do you think now? Is it whatever. And you get there or jump on a concept validation call with me at that point, whatever it is. But this is how I recommend you don't make the mistake that Steve Jobs was referring to of having a good idea and thinking that's enough. Because most good ideas are actually shit ideas in disguise because you have not thoughtfully planned before running into the fire. You have not thought it through enough. You are just, you're acting on inspiration. You're marrying this girl in a Vegas shotgun wedding style in a chapel that you met 16 hours prior, you know, at fucking, you know, at the cabana. Like, dude, slow the fuck down. There's not anyone ready to steal your incredible idea. Everyone's always like, oh my God, I got to hurry on. This is an opportunity and time's a ticking. And the opportunity is withering away with every second. No, it's not. That you sound like a fucking freshman. Knock it off. So anyway, guys, those are my thoughts. If you ever have an idea, you want to run it through, you know, have me Shark Tank it or concept validate it, please shoot me a DM on Instagram at WTF Gym Talk. Let me know what's going on and we'll hop on a call. Until I talk to you in the next podcast, have a great fucking day.